Thank you, brother. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Pastor.
Well, happy Sabbath again, everybody. Let's pray as we go into God's Word.
Dear Father in heaven, please help me to speak your word and convey it well so that the imagery is vivid, so that the words and ideas reach deep into the minds of myself and everybody here, and so that we become more like you from hearing your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
So one of Jesus' most famous sermons is actually the Sermon on the Mount. He went up on a mountain, and he actually sat down and up on the mountain, and he began to teach everybody. So he, as everybody's sitting around, he tells a multitude of things. He tells the Beatitudes. He talks about salt, about not putting your lamp under a basket. He talks about not committing adultery, a multitude of things. And then after he says all those things, he comes to the end of the sermon, and he says what Jeff so kindly read for us. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on what? A rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not, what? It didn't fall, because it was founded on the rock. So today we're going to talk about what it means to be built on the rock. Now, Jesus gave this instruction to his disciples in that day because they were coming up upon the destruction of Jerusalem. It was about to be one of the most horrible events that anyone could ever imagine. They were about to face persecution as they spread the gospel. They were about to see the person that they love so much here on this earth be nailed to a wooden cross through his hands and through his feet. They were going to endure hardships and obstacles from the enemy. And Jesus gave them this instruction so that they could weather those storms. So he says here, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. This is Matthew 7, 24. To hear, that means you have to have some way of hearing. You have to have ears, or, you know, all the biological machinery inside of what we call our ears. And to actually hear, you have to listen. And that takes time. It means pausing and waiting. Is anyone here naturally patient? There might be someone who tends to be patient. I'm not naturally a patient person. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit that God gives us, is he actually gives us patience. So in order to hear, you need patience. And that's one of the things that Jesus says. He says, whoever hears these things, hears these sayings of mine. He's not talking about just hearing things. He says in other places, those who have ears to hear. Ears to hear. And it's not only just hearing that's important, it's doing also. That requires action. It requires push. It requires energy. One of the problems with the monks and a lot of these guys who were called the church fathers is they were hearers, but they weren't doers. God hasn't called us to be monks living in solitude forever. He wants us to hear and do. Now, they, you know, those guys did do some good things. You know, there were some that did good works, and, you know, they offered some good commentary on Scripture. But there were some who actually just went to live a life of total solitude, devoid of human contact, to just study God's Word. God hasn't called us to that. He says, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer of my word also. And then he says, I'll liken this person who hears and does these things to someone who built his house on a rock. I've spent a lot of time on Lake Michigan, and along certain places on the coast there are our homes. And if any of you have ever been on Lake Michigan along the whole shore there, you know it's really sandy. And there are some homes built on this sand along Lake Michigan. And when bad storms come or a lot of the wind erodes, these homes start to slide down the hill a little bit. You see these nice patios, nice wooden porches. They just start collapsing and the house starts coming down the hill. I actually had a friend in Michigan too. Their home was the old mayor's home of Niles, Michigan, real old, like Victorian-style house. And the house slowly, it's doing fine now still, but slowly is going down the hill. If you walk in the house, you walk in the kitchen, and, you know, it's level, but as you walk into the living room, you feel a slight slope going down there. So my point is that when you don't build on a solid foundation, the house begins to slip, fall, or even collapse. Now, there are places built on solid ground that aren't moving. Now, I didn't find any examples of places built solid. Does anyone know any famous places built on solid ground? Can you help me out here? I need some help. Famous places built on real solid ground. Is it? Yeah. Yeah, it's not moving. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the White House, huh? That's a good one. Okay. Yeah, because that's right near water, too. So, you know, with being close to water, there's a danger that cities could not be so stable because of the underground water there that would be near it. So that's a good example. What? Oh, yeah. Yep. Built on a solid foundation there. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So, yeah, we got some great examples here. So these are some things built on rocks. So we have two options here. You can build on sandy, shaky, shifty ground, or you can build on a rock. Now, even sometimes the sandy ground, you might have a nice view from there. I mean, Lake Michigan's nice, but building a home right on the lake, it's kind of a risk. So Jesus says that he that hears and does his sayings is like someone who built their house on a firm foundation, a nice, solid rock. A nice rock. And there's also another person who's foolish who builds their house on sand. And in the Bible, you often see that Jesus will call people a house. There was a man that had demons cast out of him, and Jesus says, he calls him a house. He says, and that house was empty when the demons left. And the house stayed empty, and then the demons came back because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. But so when Jesus here is talking about a house, he's talking about you. He's talking about your character. He's talking about what that house is founded upon. So Jesus's real point here is, or even question is, what
is your character? What is your life founded on? What are you building upon? What's the foundation for your action? What do you base your life upon? That's what he's asking and even pointing out. And he's pointing out that we need a solid, rock-solid foundation to weather the storms. Because here's what happened. Floods came, rains descended, winds blew, and that house on the rock stood firm. But the house on the sand, the ground got saturated, and it shifted, and the wind was able to move the home, and it collapsed. It's a sad thing. But the house on the rock stood there and didn't move. And I want to make a comment here on something. I'll look at my notes real quick. Okay, here's something I wanted to point out before we get into the actual sayings. So Jesus says the word floods here. This specifically relates to difficulties we face as Christians on a large scale and small scale. So in Revelation chapter 12, there's a woman who flees out into the wilderness, and she's fleeing from a dragon. And it says the serpent spewed out, almost vomited out, a flood after this woman to consume and sweep her away. But the Bible says the earth opened up its mouth and took in the waters, and the flood was not able to hurt the woman. But these floods that went after the woman, these are the flood of persecution. This is the flood of false doctrine coming against God's church by the devil through worldly powers to sweep them away. That's what the floods are. And there's winds and there's rain. There are other applications for those too, but the point here is that difficulties arise, and the person founded upon the solid rock is able to weather those storms. Also, Jesus is the rock. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Let me check what verse it is here. Deuteronomy. Oh, I should just remember it. I know where it is. It's Deuteronomy 32. I actually like this chapter a lot in Scripture. This is the Song of Moses. It's really beautiful. I would encourage you to take some time this afternoon and read Deuteronomy 32. Fantastic chapter in the Bible. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. It says here, how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them. For their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being the judges. Oh, here's what's being said here. How could one chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them? This is saying that God's people found their strength in the rock, God. They couldn't face an army. One person couldn't fight 1,000. Two couldn't put 10,000 to flight to run away unless they had God as their strength. And think of those odds. One against 1,000? 10,000 people versus one person in a fight. Who's going to win? The 10,000 are going to win. But here's where God shifts the odds. Because he's almighty, he's omnipotent, he's the rock, one person can face 1,000. And we've seen that literally in Scripture. I mean, Samson was able to slay multitudes of people because he had the Spirit of God with him. And similarly for us, when the Holy Spirit of God is with us, we don't have to fear what man can do to us. We don't have to fear when the governments of the earth make laws to oppress God's people. We don't have to fear when our co-workers make fun of us because we follow Christ or say hey, what is this Christian doing? You know, that stuff you're doing, that's outdated. Those are old values. We're living in a new age. You don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. God says, if you're founded upon me, the rock, you can put 1,000 to flight. And you and your friend, you and your partner for sharing the gospel, you can put 10,000 to flight if you are founded upon me. And that's the rock that we're founded upon, is Jesus. And even more, Jesus says his sayings are like the rock in the parable that he told. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever Jesus says is an expression of his heart and who he is. So we can also say that these sayings that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount are a reflection of him. We can actually say that, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When Jesus talks, he's telling us who he is. He's telling us something about himself. So, I have a question for you. Do you want to be prepared to weather those storms? Do you want that? Do you want to be prepared to stand when the people of the earth are coming against you and you're being asked to take the mark of the beast? Do you want to be ready for that? Well, Jesus has some sayings and some basic things in Christianity for you to be prepared. And I was so fascinated when I was studying this. I was like, Matthew 5 through 7 is really the basics of Christianity. If you want to be able to stand and you want to know how to be a Christian, read Matthew 5 to 7 and you'll get it. Like, it's solid. I mean, it's a rock. If you study Matthew 5 through 7, you can deal with, I'm not going to say all difficulties because I don't know everything, but I'm going to say 99% of the difficulties you come up against or the personal challenges you face can be conquered through learning Matthew 5 through 7. Really, take some time and read those verses. You'll have peace. You'll have instruction for dealing with situations, with enemies. You'll know how to be humble, all kinds of good stuff. Here's an example in here, actually. Matthew 5, verse 21. Matthew 5, 21, it says, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And let's see, I want to pause there, and I want to go down to here. In verse 24, it says, leave your gift, therefore, before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. What Jesus is pointing out here is that it's important to make amends with people that you have disagreements with, or that you even don't like, or you want to call a fool. He says it's important for that root of bitterness to be uprooted from your heart before you come to God and want to offer your offering. He says it's more important for you to reconcile with your brother, if possible, than for you to even bring your gift to God and think everything's okay by just bringing your pain, your tithe, or giving an offering. He says you need to make reconciliation with people, if at all possible. Then the next here, it says in verse 27, you've heard that it was said of old, don't commit adultery in your heart. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I mean, how far-reaching with this? This doesn't only deal with adultery and lust. This deals with anything that we could do wrong in our mind. This could be murder. This could be lust after power, money. And Jesus gets to the heart of the matter, and he says, It's not just about doing it outwardly. It matters where your heart is. Where are your desires? What are your motives? And there's so much more here. There's the lamp of the body's the eye. He says you can't serve God and riches. You can only serve one master. He says, don't worry. Your Father in heaven has you covered. Study Matthew 5-7. And take this is coming from Jesus. He says, you will be a wise person if you build your house, if you build your life upon these sayings that he just spoke. How plain and simple is that? All of Scripture is for our instruction, but we have some condensed, very valuable information in Matthew 5-7. So my encouragement for you today is this week, study Matthew 5-7. If you want to see rapid spiritual progress and knowledge happen in your life, if you want to be able to solve some of the difficulties in your life, study Matthew 5-7 and see if you don't see some of those difficulties dissolve, or at least how you handle them, because not all problems go away on the outward sense right away. So my question is, do you want to build your house on the rock today? All right, well, raise your hand with me and let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, give us the fortitude, the tools, the strength, and the knowledge to be founded upon you, the rock. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.